WTBQ.
All right, good morning, everybody. This is Jim Mazzetti. This is the American Dream. We're here every Tuesday from 10 to 11. And this show, just kind of a reminder, everybody that's listening, is a show about Orange County entrepreneurs. There's so many of them in this county and so many across the country. We decided to do a show about it and kind of help everybody be aware of what entrepreneurs are in the area, what they do, how they do it, and why they came to do it. My special guest today is Aaron Pasquale, who is the owner and chef and designer of You're the Boss Weddings and Events. I'm very lucky to have her this morning.
Good morning, and I'm great to be back on WTBQ.
Yeah, it's a great channel, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, we're very lucky to have actually entrepreneurs like Frank in this station who started this thing 21 years ago. Yeah,
happy anniversary, Frank.
Exactly. Pretty amazing. So this morning, Aaron was kind enough to join us here and quite an impressive resume to set everybody listening, actually. Kind of, I wouldn't say a resume, I'd say career bio or things of what you've done in the past. And you're actually, you're pretty damn young, too.
I think I look younger than I am.
Well, you look pretty good. Aaron, so real quick, and kind of tee this up for everybody. Aaron started out, she went to Fairfield University. She got her master's in hospitality and food services. She worked for a club, Ortango, and restaurant?
Antaroga. It was a restaurant that my family owned and operated in Goshen. And that was pretty much our start. They started working on it when I was a junior in college. And right about that time was when you're in college, you have to declare a major. And I was already in business school, but I wasn't sure which exactly direction to take. And between my fall and spring semester, my parents sat us down, my brother and I, and said, we're going to be opening up a restaurant. Do you have any interest in this whatsoever? And so, I wasn't sure. I knew I always wanted to go into business, and I ended up taking some classes geared towards that. And it was just something that I felt I had a lot of passion for. The creativity, all the details that go into it, it helps with OCD.
I think every entrepreneur has OCD. Yeah,
absolutely.
Right?
And it was something I just kind of fell in love with. As far as an entrepreneur, it kind of went backwards. As far as owning a restaurant was the first restaurant experience and hospitality experience I ever had.
Ever. So you,
ever.
You didn't do anything prior to this.
No.
You weren't a waitress. You weren't a busboy.
Absolutely
you
not.
Do anything short, shorter or cook type thing?
No. Not at all. My brother was in culinary school at the CIA. So he had somewhat an experience, and he knew that's the direction he wanted to take it into. But having the restaurant was the first experience I got to it. And from that, I got to just hone in on different skills. Keep in mind, the restaurant opened when I was 21. So just learning how to bartend was from there, and learning how to deal with customers, first on. I was still in college when it was about to open, and I was able to use my experience of opening a restaurant and going through all the zoning and all the, court hearings and all the paperwork and all the inspections. I actually got to use that as my senior thesis.
Interesting, because that was no small project. I remember when that restaurant was open. Mm-hmm. It was actually one of the
first. It was 2 years of construction. So,
yeah.
So actually opening it was probably the single most inspiring moment of, I would say, my career. And, all signs kind of point towards that and the amount of work that we put into that place.
Just getting the doors open was a feat all by itself.
Absolutely.
Right?
And like I said, learning from there, it was a matter of not saying no to any opportunity that came along. For example, a couple years into it, people started saying, can we have weddings? Do you guys do wedding catering? And, when you're first starting out, you don't say no to anything.
Absolutely not.
So we were like, yeah, we do weddings. Can you bake cakes? I can attempt to bake a cake. So actually from there started my baking career and doing wedding cakes and doing custom themed events and just not saying no to what customers really wanted to see at their events. And, that pretty much is the groundwork for the company I have today.
Where you are today.
Mm-hmm.
So that set the table.
Absolutely.
So that was the interest, that was the basis and say, okay, this is where we're going to go from here. And, but I'm sure you didn't know that was going to take you to today.
Absolutely not. Right? Absolutely not. Well, we ended up closing the restaurant in 2009. Both my parents were in the hospital at the time, and it was just a strain on our family where we were spending the mornings at Columbia Presbyterian and the evenings at the restaurant, and we weren't becoming a family from that. So we decided to make a very big decision and close, and I was maybe like 25, 26 at the time.
Right.
I knew that if I wanted to go, if I wanted to do bigger things, I had to experience other things from the bottom. With that said, I went to Halligan's. I learned more about lower priced, high volume bar,
right.
You know, pushing out drinks, pushing out food. From there, I worked with a chef, their chef at the time, who's no longer there. He wasn't the most pleasant of some of people to work with. And you hear that a lot with kitchen staff.
Right.
And it would be like on a Friday night, we have 100 people in the place, and you would see short order cooks walk out the door. And, you know, we didn't have that at my family's restaurant. And being just a manager there, not just the front of the house manager at the time, I knew everything about the menu. So it was by that point where I was just like, I'm just going to jump on the line and see where this goes. So that's where I learned how to short order cook, not from my family's restaurant because I was more of the front of the house manager, but I learned how to cook things with more precise and higher volume and fast pace at Halligan's.
Well, so thinking about this, kind of taking the, you know, the look and the way things came from. So mm-hmm. you went from owning your own restaurant, which mm-hmm. is the most people's dreams,
mm-hmm.
right? But going through, quite frankly, what a lot of entrepreneurs and business people go through, quite frankly, because 50% do not make it.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
But it didn't make it, but that wasn't the end.
Matter of fact, if
anything, if you want to talk about an education, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
There's an education you don't get in college, by the way, right?
Mm-hmm. It was, you know,
starting it and closing it and going through all the ups and downs that go along with it,
yeah,
is not something that's easy to do.
Yeah, in college, taking those classes, you don't learn that you're going to have to deal face-to-face with customers screaming at your face about something. Maybe they didn't like the temperature the meat was cooked at or something right. like that. You don't learn it. You have to learn that, unfortunately,
that's
right
real life.
When someone's yelling at you in your face.
But those are critical lessons, that all entrepreneurs have to go through.
Right? Absolutely.
And obviously it's helped you become where you are today.
Exactly. So from Halligan's, learning how to short order cook and high volume bar sales and pushing out drinks, pushing out food, I went and worked down in the city. I thought it was about time that, you know, if you're from here, you want to experience something, you have to go outside.
Take a different challenge.
Exactly. So I started at the bottom at a 250 seat restaurant right in Midtown on Madison and 39th. And we catered to the 1%, pretty much. I started out as a maitre d'.
That's a whole different part.
Yeah, whole different ballgame. You know, where you have 100 people wanting to sit down at noon. And you're, you know, they can easily spend, we had maybe 4 people easily spend $1,000. And I was their maitre d', making sure everything was smooth, making sure the reservations, they would call me in the morning, make sure they got the table they wanted and the food that they wanted, and, you know, you had to appease them. And then they would come back for company dinners at night. It was actually the first job I had in the hospitality industry that I had weekends off because the business people weren't there on the weekends.
Is that right?
So
that's an unusual thing in a restaurant business.
Exactly. I actually worked, I did 60 hours in 4 days. So I did Tuesday to Friday.
Wow.
Yeah, and then, you know, 60 hours is really nothing when you're working in the hospitality industry.
Well, I think 60 hours today for anybody who owns their own business,
mm-hmm.
We don't count the hours.
Yeah, exactly.
It's when the job's done,
it's done.
That's
yeah.
when you go home. And then
exactly.
you wake up the second you can, and you're thinking about it again.
Yeah, and now with the communication the way it is, you can hear from a client at any hour of the night via text, you know, where email or anything like that. So
right.
you're really always working.
We're all connected today.
Exactly.
Without question.
So from maitre d'ing, I did event planning. And one great thing that I had from my previous experience was people started coming to me to do weddings down in the city. So that was just something really cool, you know, going from weddings in the country to weddings in the city.
So that was kind of the ding-ding moment? This is maybe something I should take next direction?
Yeah, because from there, I had to move back home. I didn't have a car down in the city, and I found out both my parents were back in the hospital. And so, you know, we come from a very tight-knit family, first generation born in the United States. Our backgrounds are just, you know, we work for the family. So, and plus, they pretty much taught me all the work ethic that, that I have today.
From what we're talking about right now. Pretty amazing, to say the very least. Oh,
thank you.
Unfortunately, I think we got to take one quick break here.
Absolutely.
We're getting to that hour as we normally, actually, a time in a movie. And as they say, we got to take the commercial break. But Aaron Pasquale is my guest here. I'll be right back with The American Dream.
Hey, Mike, I have good news and bad news. Good news is my son just got accepted to college.
Hey, congratulations, Bill. That's great news. What's the bad news?
We don't have enough money for his college education. I don't know how I'm going to tell him that we can't afford to pay all 4 years.
Listen, call the people at Miles Wealth Management. They helped me with my financial planning, and now I can afford my son's entire college tuition. To tell you the truth, for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm truly financially secure.
That's exactly what I need. Now, how do I get in touch with these guys?
You can call them at 845-651-3070, and their website is mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located right in the Village of Florida.
I'm calling them as we speak.
Miles Wealth Management, LLC is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors, Inc., and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
Hi, this is Walt Baby Love, host of Gospel Tracks, heard right here on WTBQ every Sunday morning at 6 a.m. Musical guests, the best inspirational messages to get you through the week, and much, much more with Walt Baby Love.
Hi, this is Peter Feller of A&T Healthcare, your one call for the finest in home healthcare. Tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. to hear the latest news on everything health-related, because your health does matter, right here on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
WTBQ. All right, welcome back. This is Jim Mazzetti with Miles Wealth Management, and this is The American Dream. My guest today is Aaron Pasquale, who is the owner and chef of You're the Boss, LLC. We're having just a very cool time, you know, talking where she came, how she kind of get to where she's going here. There's a lot more to come. And that said, Aaron, we're kind of starting a new thing on this show since we just started this show. I think you're our fourth guest,
which
is very cool. And I've been lucky enough to have, we call it a media minute now. And we have a very good friend of Orange County, and actually has been doing a lot of things and has done a lot for Orange County. His name is Josh Summers from Focus Media, and he's going to join us here with kind of a helpful hint, we're hoping, every week here to help our entrepreneurs that are listening. Josh, you there?
I am. How are you, Jim?
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having us. When I started my communications career, it started on WTBQ in 1993.
Really?
Yeah. And I did radio for, you know, through my late 20s, but it all started right there, believe it or not.
Well, see, I got a shot. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. You're on the right track.
Thank you for that. I tell you, Josh, as you kind of listen, we kind of give you a little background on the show here, and it's really about entrepreneurs of Orange County, and you are certainly one of them. And what we're hoping to get from this is kind of some of your knowledge and experience, and maybe just a little helpful hint for our listeners and entrepreneurs that are on the fence.
Sure. Yeah. You know, one of the biggest things we see when we meet with a new client is they want to chase new leads. Like, how do we get, you know, our phone to ring? And that's something I do every day. And it's a very important part of your business. But my tip for today is never take for granted your existing relationships. And Jim, as you know, in the financial services business in particular, making sure that you cultivate and cross-sell your existing relationships are very important.
Without question.
So what we always do, this is, you know, marketing 101 for whoever you might work with, is chase the new leads and develop a marketing plan to do that, but also develop a good marketing plan to talk to your existing database of people that you have relationships with, whether it's a piece of mail, an email blast, special lunches, maybe an annual event, whatever it may be. And what that does is it monetizes your existing relationships, and you can particularly upsell or cross-sell them to a service that you may have that they may not be using, or get more share of their wallet, which is a common term used in marketing. So you never want a client to say, oh, I didn't know you sold that, or I didn't think of you for that part of my business or that need.
It's a good point.
So that's really, you know, a very important thing that we always try to convey, especially when you have just a minute.
Yeah.
That, you know, to market your existing contacts, and, you know, certainly, you know, develop new ones and have the external marketing to do that. But make sure you don't forget about your existing relationships and make sure you touch them with some marketing. And I think that's a very important, all successful businesses have some type of cross promotion and formal follow-up to their existing clients.
I think it's that point. I mean, retention. Like, it was hard enough to get that client, right, and earn their business, but it's equally as important to keep it.
Right, and every new client that you get or that you have, it costs you money. It costs you investment in time being in the marketplace or a lunch or an ad or a website, whatever it may be. So that there's a cost there. But, you know, marketing to your existing relationships is a low cost or no cost.
That's fantastic. Josh, thank you so much.
Thank you. Look forward to speaking to you again.
We'll see you next week. Thanks again, Josh Summers from Focus Media.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that was kind of cool, isn't it? What a great guy. Josh has done a million. I tell you, we're going to talk about successful business, and he's been doing it for a long time. But to that point, I mean, it's the time you put into your business and the effort you put into it. You got to be all in.
Absolutely.
Which obviously, Aaron, you're all in.
More than all in, right? At this point.
So we left off. You went from dealing your own company.
Yep.
Having to start it and then to close it and all the reality of that. And then you kind of worked in a local, our local Halligan's here, which is much more of a higher value but lower ticket item.
Yes.
And now we're in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Where literally the 1%ers live.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a completely different spectrum from what we are used to.
Yeah. And I was working there during the time of Occupy Wall Street and all the protesting. So people would be coming in for lunch, dinner, and we have protesters outside and...
Oh, my God. It's a whole different. But they were, as you said, they were not affected too badly,
no,
right?
No, absolutely not.
So moving on from there, so that kind of is kind of the framework
mm-hmm.
that you kind of obviously desired, figured out that you needed to educate yourself on all aspects.
Yes.
Of,
well, there was one thing missing, and then I ended up taking a job to fulfill that one more thing. I ended up getting a call from, at the time, it was Catlin Gardens.
Sure, I know it well.
Yeah, so they had the hotel, and the hotel management was actually one of those things on my business bucket list.
Okay.
And I knew I wasn't, you know, be able to get into a hotel, maybe not from the city, just because it was just, you know, a different, whole different ballgame down there. And
that was a good fit for you, I can tell.
Yeah, so I ended up leaving the job and coming up here, I think in April. I think my last day down in the city was like March 30th. And I moved back April 3rd, started at Catlin Gardens April 4th. So
wow.
really wasn't any sort of, and I didn't want any sort of financial break between moving because my parents were sick and we, you know, just kind of didn't want to have too much of a break in anything. I started out as the manager of Jack's Pub. And my role there was to create new menus, change the inventory, increase sales, you know, visibility of the place. And I did. It was really cool working there. The environment there, different, much slower pace than when I was just coming to. But I was getting more to having a personal life, a social
right.
life.
But so you're
or
involved,
so I thought.
So you're involved in some of the marketing side of that as
yeah,
well then.
Okay. Absolutely.
So not just the customer service end of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're open up to a different part of what
yeah.
your education was going to be.
Well, the basis of my education wasn't hospitality management. I actually went to school at Fairfield for management and marketing.
Okay.
So, you know, all streams of communication that you're going to. And at the time, social media was really taking off, so I wanted to just kind of jump right on that. So at Catlin, I started off at manager of Jack's Pub. Within the year and a half from the start date, I ended up being the executive chef of the entire operation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, but, at, you know, at Catlin Gardens, in a mom and pop place, family-owned.
Good family, by the way.
Good family. If I'm there after hours, I'm also managing the hotel, managing the catering, you're pretty much doing everything. You know, everyone can tell you, if you worked at Catlin Gardens, you probably learned some sort of plumbing, electrical, And that's what you do when you work at a family-owned business.
Well, it's small business in general, right?
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I mean, I can tell you right now that I am the president of the company. I'm also the guy who takes the trash out.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
dad used to tell people at the restaurant. He's like, I'm the janitor.
Right. You got to do what you got to do.
Absolutely.
Right. And I tell you, and that just kind of shows us that's the teamwork side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you build a team? And how do you build a team? You build a team by leading.
Exactly.
Right? Doing it by example.
Yeah. And throughout the last year of them being opened, there was just so much negativity coming at us from all different directions.
Well, they got hit hard.
Yeah. It definitely got hit hard.
Our media did not help us in that situation, by the way.
And then, you know, being in the core of it, being in the executive chef at the last year and a half of it, I was not only helping sell the weddings, I was cooking the weddings, and I was dealing with any hotel problems that the weddings had. So basically, I was one of the go-to people. You know, and we understood that the family was going through a lot. And so the staff tried to pick it up. And the main thing I could have done, the biggest thing I could have done, was just be positive for every other staff member there who were hearing different things from different people about, you know, the status and what people were saying and just negativity. And it did take a toll on the team, but at the very end, everyone is definitely there for everybody else.
Well, you know, you hit up a good point here. And if you could kind of touch on this, how you dealt with the rumor mill. I mean, all small businesses, you know, there's a time, you know, and quite frankly, this is a very good point for any entrepreneur out there. I think one of the things I always tell our people, some of the biggest, I think, things you should be happy about is criticism.
Because
you've been noticed.
Yeah.
Right? Unfortunately, Catlin Garner's got noticed for the wrong reasons.
Absolutely. And I would say, like, the biggest thing that happened out of there, the one thing that they promised that actually that actually went through is that we stayed open till the last wedding.
Wow.
Yeah. So they stayed open.
They held their promise.
Yeah. To October. I mean, they took the bankruptcy to be able to stay open till the last wedding.
I tell you, you know, I know that family.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that what they went through, and, you know, they were true entrepreneurs. From the father up, by the way.
Yep, Jack.
Right? Mm-hmm. The entire family was involved in that thing. But now can I stay on point here because my ADD will kick in.
That's a whole different show.
Yeah, it is a different show, isn't it? But they were, them like yourself, they were all in. And they obviously hired the person to make sure they were all in. And you took it from, you went to every facet of that job, which... Here we go.
Yeah.
Moving on to the next segment.
Exactly. Well, they promised that they would be open to the last wedding, and I actually promised them once everything came out in the paper that I would stay on till the last day, and I did.
That's huge.
Yeah. And I stayed on the last day, and I didn't go on any interviews or anything like that, which was, you know, very, you know, self-debilitating at some point. And so
shows true character, though.
Thank you. So we were sitting in October. I knew that Catlin had about maybe 2 weeks to go. I knew that at 30 years old, after working for 15 years with a steady job, at, you know, every point of the way, that I was going to be unemployed.
Hello.
So it's like a brick to the face.
Right.
It really is. And, you know, how do you tell your parents that, you know, you're going to be going on unemployment? Yeah. So that was pretty hard. And, you know, they offered me, you know, if I wanted to go back and work for them, you know, and I actually said, you know, I was like, I love you guys, but what they do is not my passion.
Right.
You know, my mom's a cardiologist, my dad's in, you know, political business and, you know, all that stuff. So,
yeah, I don't think that's actually a natural fit for you, is it?
What?
That's not the natural fit.
No, absolutely
for you.
Not. I mean, I worked for them before, but like I said, it's just not where my passion is. And I wanted to stay true to that. I think it was, certain events were happening around the same time. I went on an interview to be the event planner at a wedding venue a little bit more upstate. It was about an hour away from where I lived. And it was a resort. And, you know, I was coming from Catlin Gardens, and I planned, executed, cooked anywhere from, you know, 700 to 1,000 events a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, and this venue that I was interviewing at did 12 events a year. And I just couldn't do it. I absolutely couldn't do it. You know, I couldn't sleep that night trying to figure things out. And my boyfriend actually said to me, he's like, why don't you do your own thing? I was like, oh, there's so much risk doing that. I've done it before. I don't know if I want to do it again. You know, there's, even though we closed Club
Entourage. It's all risk.
Yeah, it's all risk. It was, you know.
It's all on you.
I had my first heartbreak, you know, in 2009 closing the restaurant, you know. So.
Right. Yeah. And so that was still fresh in your mind, wasn't
it? Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, we're going to leave it right there.
Yeah, and we'll go.
And we'll come back. And this is Jim Mazzetti with The American Dream with Miles Wealth Management. And we'll see you in a minute.
Hey, Mike, I have good news and bad news. Good news is my son just got accepted to college.
Hey, congratulations, Bill. That's great news. What's the bad news?
We don't have enough money for his college education. I don't know how I'm going to tell him that we can't afford to pay all 4 years.
Listen, call the people at Miles Wealth Management. They helped me with my financial planning, and now I can afford my son's entire college tuition. To tell you the truth, for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm truly financially secure.
That's exactly what I need. Now, how do I get in touch with these guys?
You can call them at 845-651-3070, and their website is mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located right in the Village of Florida.
I'm calling them as we speak.
Miles Wealth Management, LLC, is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signatory Investors, Inc., and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
Hi, this is Alan Fernandez. Join me at the Jazz Getaway with Miles Davis, John Coltrane, and Duke Ellington and more every Sunday at 7 p.m. on WTBQ.
Hi, this is Stacey Lawrence of the Greenwood Lake Garden Center here with my co-host,
Kevin Sweeney of the Windermere Agency.
We would love it if you all would join us every Friday from 11 to 12 on WTBQ for Greenwood Lake Radio.
All Greenwood Lake, all the time.
WTBQ weather.
Clouds and some sunshine today. There is a chance of afternoon showers and thunderstorms, and temperatures head to the low and mid-80s. Tonight, any scattered showers should end. It remains cloudy, though, and in the upper 60s. Tomorrow, look for clouds and sun. Again, an afternoon shower, thunderstorm, and some could be strong. Highs in the mid-80s. Showers end tomorrow night. Will stay cloudy and around 60. And look for partly sunny skies on Thursday. There could be a shower, thunderstorm again in the afternoon. Highs should reach the lower 80s. From the WTVQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tony Salimo. WTVQ.
All right, welcome back. This is Jim Mazzetti with Miles Wealth Management. This is The American Dream. And, you know, before I forget, because I'm so bad at this, Aaron, you can reach us at Miles Wealth Management, 845-651-3070, or www.mileswealthmanagement.com. There, I've done it. Like, I finally have actually said something about our firm for like 2 seconds here. As you can tell, that's not really our whole thing about what we're about here. What we're really about is meeting great people like you. This is what kind of inspired me to do this show. And it was just, I think it was a great opportunity to help other self-employed entrepreneurs, you know, explain what they did, how they did it, and why they still do it, and what the passion that brought them to do it. And, you bring that to the table, girl. It's like, I tell you.
Thank you.
I mean, we're going
a lot
here,
of hard work.
A lot of hard work, and just kind of the theme. And you know, before we kind of get into the next thing, you mentioned before we were talking about kind of off the air. Support system is one of the things I find is kind of a common theme in entrepreneurs. And without that support system, I think it'd be damn near impossible to do what you do. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you kind of talk off the air, your family, and I can tell this by looking at you and talking to you, they're very important in your life.
Absolutely. I mean, in our culture, where my parents are from the Philippines, you work for the family, you live for the family. Everything's for the family. You're kicking yourself in the butt because of the family.
Right.
Everything. And they taught us from such a young age to just keep working and, you know, don't stop, always study, always, you know, keep your grades up high. My dad was that dad that said, you know, you got a 98 your test, why didn't you get 100? He was that dad. And, you know, my parents had, my mom had started her practice when I believe, my brother was a year old. So I was probably still in the womb.
Wow.
Yeah.
Remember, you're talking, your parents are actually immigrants to the United States, right?
Yeah. My mom started, she moved to the U.S. around 1970 to attend medical school at University of Pennsylvania.
Wow.
So that was her, you know, culture shock and everything like that. And her father was a doctor, so she wanted to go into that same path. And my dad, he joined the U.S. Navy in 1960.
Okay.
And, you know, it was part of, you know, everything that was going on in the world at that point. And
wow.
He was, you know, in the submarines and doing the radar scans and everything like that. So
it's obvious where the work ethic came from mm-hmm. and the discipline came from.
Absolutely. And they worked really extremely hard to give us the life that they didn't have. So, you know, it's only fair that my brother and I, we work really hard to just take care of them.
Sure.
And make sure that they stay happy, that we stay happy, you know.
It's don't forget where you came from.
Absolutely.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, one of the common things we, in Miles, you know, we handle clients from, obviously, that have done very, very well in their life,
mm-hmm.
Business owners that started their firm and they're now selling their firm. But one thing we do, and what we're so proud of, is we don't forget where we came from. We love working with clients that are just getting started in their life or just started a family and have to, you know, begin that process of putting away for college and retirement and making sure their family's protected and all that fun stuff. And you know, it's what we all do and why we do it. But I got that, you know, the same DNA you do.
Mm-hmm.
My father started the firm when he came from Ireland, and kind of just gives you that instinctive feeling like there's no quit. There's no say no, never. You got to keep
Absolutely.
Going, right? So kind of taking this back and kind of remind people where we are with this, when you, you went from this amazing job of doing a 1,000 catering jobs a year to mm-hmm. now 12 events a year.
Well, it was the you know, promise of doing 12 events a year. I didn't actually take that job because I just couldn't look at myself and
Oh, so that was the catalyst. That was like, I got to do something else.
Yeah, exactly. So I was offered that job and they said, you know, we do 12 events a year. It's up to you to make the rest happen. I was like, I don't know if I can, you know, necessarily do that. The venue wasn't my ideal venue. And we were saying off air that, like, I just can't sell something I don't believe in.
Without question. There's nothing, I don't think you can do anything you don't believe in.
Exactly. So, you know, I was going from working 100 hours a week and doing 1,000 events a year to being unemployed. So it was like I said before, a brick to the face. So I think about the next day, ironically, I wake up and I get this phone call from one of my little friends. And I mean little, he's good 10 years or, you know, 6 years, I think about 6 years younger than me. He was my first busboy when my parents had the restaurant 10 years ago. So he worked for me when he was 15 till about 18, till he went off to college. And we always kept in contact. I even went on college visits with him. I took him to Fairfield to see it. He ended up going to Quinnipiac, but, you know, whatever.
So you were that close.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And his parents called me if they never needed anything. He was actually a neighbor as well. So, and he would, you know, tell me things, you know, that he did in college that he couldn't tell his parents and stuff like that. You know, any advice he needed to do was always come to me. And he was hitting, he at his point had a rock bottom and was coming home. He was working in Connecticut. Got involved in some things, ended up coming home, talking to me about it, saying that he needed to go on new job interviews, and he did that. So I knew a year had passed since he had gotten a new job, and I didn't know what it was. So I get a phone call from him. I thought maybe he wanted to tell me about his new job. And he said, you know, I got him put in charge of catering this open house for this firm I work for. And I knew he was just I knew at the time he was a personal assistant. And
a PA, as they call it, right?
Yeah.
Now.
And he said, you know, he told me at the time it was going to be about 20, 30 people, not that big. And usually at open houses, they don't really care about the food. And I was like, well, okay, you know, I guess I'll do that. And I was like, well, when is it? He's like, it's going to be in a week. And then a couple minutes later, he calls me back and says, production moved it up a few days. So it's actually in 3 days. Can you do it? And I said, production, who do you work for? And he said, I am Ryan Sernhardt's personal assistant for Nest Seekers International. And production, it's just that the camera crews are going to be there. It's going to be filmed for the show.
The show.
The show, meaning Million Dollar Listing New York.
Million Dollar Listing New York.
Yeah.
That show? The one with all the brokers running
yep.
around trying to
mm-hmm.
sell those amazing listings?
Yes. So I was like, yeah, I'll be there 3 days. And he's like, I want you to come up with, you know, a menu, but don't stress yourself out. I'm like, of course I'm going to stress myself out.
Sure.
And so I came up with a menu and a theme, and I actually brought down all the decor for it and tablescaping. And, you know, we were working with Hellabitters who were doing the bar from Brooklyn. And, you know, I brought down some rental equipment, you know, basically just to kind of fill in all the missing pieces for putting an event on.
Okay.
So 20 people didn't show up. 150 brokers showed up.
And 150?
150 brokers showed up.
Were you prepared for 150?
Absolutely.
You were.
I always over-prepare.
Wow.
We had about 7 different menu options and desserts, and my cupcakes did actually get onto the TV show, which was pretty cool. Like, they did a span of the table and everything like that. And
cupcakes are coming up next.
Yeah. Cupcakes is a big part of my life right now.
Right.
And, you know, it was just a huge stepping stone. The place that we were in was a penthouse selling for $6.5 million.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, they wanted me to use their kitchen. I was like, I'm not touching a $6.5 million kitchen.
Are you kidding me? I'd be all over that.
Well, it was the size of the studio.
Yeah.
This room that we were in. So
actually, I bring that back. I would be all over it. But the only thing I know how to use is the microwave. Just ask my wife.
You know, so I put down towels on the floor. It was this, you know, I couldn't even tell you what, you know, material it was. It was just completely foreign to me. But it was a great time.
What an opportunity.
Yeah. So they, at the time of the shooting, they put everything on social media. So that's how, you know, I have to use this to just be on my own. So we came up with a name. My boyfriend actually came up with it the night before. And, you know, he's like, you do custom events for people. You don't say no to their ideas. And you actually make things happen that they're conceptualizing. So that's where, you know, the company You're the Boss and was formed.
Okay, now I get it. All right.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll go into a little bit more about what I do and stuff like that. So I have clients that are all different types of people who have ideas in their mind that they want to, you know, make happen, but they don't have the tools to take it from idea to fabrication and execution.
Well, from concept to execution mm-hmm. is not a simple task in anything that anybody ever does.
Yeah.
I mean, we, you know, there's one thing to conceive it, but there's another thing to actually execute the project.
Yeah.
And generally that takes two different people.
Yeah. And so I do it all myself. I do the catering, I do the conceptualization, the ideas, and I make sure that all props needed are there. I do all the decor. So that's why I'm a designer, so to speak. For example, one of my clients is the former style director of Saks Fifth Avenue. And so you can imagine her imagination is well beyond most people can imagine.
Yeah.
So, you know, one event I did for her at Catlin Gardens, and she's still my client, you know, today, and has become a great friend of mine. She said, you know, it's my 20th anniversary coming up, and I would like a Gatsby-themed party, but based on the movie.
The Great Gatsby.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I had...
The first movie or the second movie?
The second movie.
Okay.
Second movie. So I actually had a lot of the same... She was able to procure some of the same exact props that were in that movie into the event, to the party.
How amazing.
So, like, a lot of the hats, some of the canes, the cane that Leonardo DiCaprio used, you know, that was there. We had a 6-piece orchestra on one side. I had, like, flowing champagne, or actually Prosecco, because that was her preference, on one other end. I tailored a menu to the 1920s.
Holy cow.
Everybody was dressed up from, you know, hat to shoe. I even did, like, the translucent balloons that you see all over in the movie, everything.
Talk about creativeness.
Yeah.
So that your first, let me just get this straight now, yeah. So everybody's listening. So you went from knowing you're unemployed, mm-hmm. you took this shot from a friend that kind of, talk about never burn your bridges, right?
Absolutely. 10 years ago.
This guy was your busboy. Mm-hmm. And that one opportunity has...
Absolutely. Because he could have called anybody in New York City.
Sure he could.
You know?
But he thought of you.
Yeah.
Because, A, relationships are key. And I'll tell you, we talked to a few reps of mine and people I work with business-wise, and we talk about this all the time. It's contacts to contracts.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing missing there is the R, which is the relationships. And obviously you had that.
Yeah. Right? Thankfully, I've been able to have such strong relationships with everybody I've done events for. Just speaking of just recently, Bill Fioravanti, who works for the
Orange County Partnership.
Exactly.
Great guy, by the way.
He calls me a couple weeks ago and says, you know, it's a Friday. I'm actually doing an event at Caldwell House at the time. He calls me on Friday and says, I have an event for you for next Wednesday. And I was like, I have a couple of meetings next Wednesday. I was like, just tell me what it is and I could probably move some stuff. And he's like, well, Angry Orchard is doing their groundbreaking event and I would like you to cater it.
Like, Angry Orchard.
Yeah. Angry. I'm like,
fantastic.
The Angry Orchard.
Yeah.
So wow. I dropped everything for that, and it was an unbelievable event in the actual orchards in Walden.
Okay.
And what was great about it, I was able to use, the next morning they drop off about 3 cases of hard cider to my door. And I'm using
bonus.
All the cider in all the ingredients of the food.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I had about like 7 different menu items, and all the cider was used in it. Like I did, it was cider, barbecued pulled chicken sliders with an apple slaw. I did, I even incorporated the hard cider into cupcakes. I do something called Not Your Grandma's Apple Pie, which is hard cider Cinnabon cake with fireball sauteed apple filling and a caramel frosting.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, we even used it in stuffed mushrooms. I used it, you know, every which way.
Really?
Fine. Yeah.
That's freaking amazing.
Yeah. So that was just like another.
I can't say that, can I? Freaking amazing. I can say freaking, can I?
You can say freaking.
Amazing. That's awesome. Listen, we're going to take a quick break here when we come back. I'm here with Aaron Pasquale from You're the Boss Catering, and this is Jim Mazzetti with Miles Wealth Management, and this is The American Dream.
Hey, Mike, I have good news and bad news. Good news is my son just got accepted to college.
Hey, congratulations, Bill. That's great news. What's the bad news?
We don't have enough money for his college education. I don't know how I'm going to tell him that we can't afford to pay all 4 years.
Listen, call the people at Miles Wealth Management. They helped me with my financial planning, and now I can afford my son's entire college tuition. To tell you the truth, for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm truly financially secure.
That's exactly what I need. Now, how do I get in touch with these guys?
You can call them at 845-651-3070, and their website is mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located right in the Village of Florida.
I'm calling them as we speak.
Miles Wealth Management, LLC, is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signatory Investors, Inc., and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
Hi, I'm Pat O'Dwyer. Join me on the Friday Roundtable for a provocative look at politics and the people in our Hudson Valley community on the Friday Roundtable at 9 a.m. on WTBQ.
Hi, this is Dr. David Leach, the superintendent of the Warwick Valley Central School District and host of Your Schools. Listen every Monday at 12 noon to learn what's happening in your schools right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to. WTBQ.
All right, welcome back. Jim Mazzetti, Miles Wealth Management. And this is The American Dream. My guest is Aaron Pasquale from You're the Boss Catering. Actually, You're the Boss Wedding and Events. I think actually that's a better... Because you don't just do catering.
I do everything.
You do
it all.
I do
weddings, events. I have clients that call me just to style their event. And, you know, 10 years ago, this was really heard of.
Event planning?
Not so much event planning. Like, hey, I'm going to hire you to decorate my wedding. Make sure my colors match. Make sure. Because nowadays, it drives brides crazy to be able to do it. To have to do it on your own. So they call me up. It's getting to the point where I even pick out your flowers, pick out your centerpieces. I help you with the color themes you have, help pick out bridesmaids' dresses, help. I even do the calligraphy on wedding invitations and everything like that.
Do you ever sleep?
Minimal. Yeah, actually I do. I mean, my boyfriend goes to work and that's when I sleep.
Yep.
So usually during the day, the best sleep I've ever gotten in the last 15 years because of hospitality has been between usually 7 and 10 in the morning because it's quiet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Does your brain shut off for at least a couple hours there?
Yeah, it does. I mean, until like I glance at my phone and then I see the email count or...
Yeah. Well, we talked about being connected before. Sometimes it's just this, it's being way too connected.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing all kinds of custom events. I mean, I see here you do Greek Moroccan themed dinners, Great Gatsby, and we talked about that, Sicilian engagements, Texas barbecue.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting one because the rehearsal, it's a wedding rehearsal dinner that I'm catering, and the groom is from Texas, the bride is from China.
Wow.
But typically in your wedding rules, so to speak, the groom side pays and plans the rehearsal dinner. So the groom's mother wants a Texas themed and actually has me getting the brisket straight from Texas.
Wow.
Yeah. So which is, you know, it helps me do what I need to do. So,
sure.
You know, I'm never going to say no to if they have a better connection or they want a specific taste or a specific cut from someplace. They'll give me the company name and I'll make it happen.
Well, you're hitting that point is that, you know,
it's clear and obvious that you listen very intently and very closely to your mm-hmm. customers' desires.
Oh yeah, my first question when I meet them is, what do you envision your event to be? What would you like to have? And that usually is an hour long meeting.
So it's in depth.
Oh, absolutely.
So you do what we do. It's literally a fact finding event. Mm-hmm. Right.
I get to know their personality, and then I can make more observations and more ideas stem from that.
Interesting. So other entrepreneurs that are listening to this show, what advice would you give them? You know, especially if you're going to venture out, at least not necessarily in the catering world or hospitality mm-hmm. world. But what advice would you give them first and foremost? It's a couple things that come to the top of your head.
Oh, the big thing is listening to your clientele. But the biggest thing is listening to yourself. Don't stray away from what you know you can do and what you know you're passionate about.
Interesting.
I mean, if I'd taken that job and done 12 events, I probably would have just cried the hour home on the ride home every day and then cry the hour back, you know, back to work every day and just been, you know, for me, I don't like quitting as far as quitting jobs. Or quitting anything really.
Right.
So I know that I would have put myself through like a year of that before I'd been like, okay, this is enough.
And you would have, and it's funny you say that because you would have disappointed them
mm-hmm.
and you would have equally disappointed yourself.
Oh, I wouldn't have put myself, my entire self into it.
Right.
You know, you don't have the job that you're traveling to and the first minute you get there is, you know, you're counting down the clock till you go home.
Right.
That's, to me, is not a job worth having.
Well, I think that still goes, you know, I mentioned it before, and I'm going to say it again. It shows your true character. And I think that any entrepreneur I've been lucky enough to deal with, it's one of the first things I look at is what's their makeup?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can they really do the job they say they're going to do? Are they going to stick to their morals?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to really listen to their heart and don't give up when the tough gets going, you know, so to speak.
Absolutely.
And you clearly demonstrate that, to say the very least. And what a pleasure. I got to tell you,
you're
having a ball here. And, and before we lose time, because I'm really not great at this whole radio thing, I'm still figuring it out. How can we get a hold of you? If people are listening today and they would love to reach out, and I tell you, just listen to some of the things you've done in the past, it's clear that I'd recommend you in 2 seconds. How can they find you?
Well, honestly, about 95% of my business comes from social media. People find me on the...
So you've really figured out how to use that, huh?
Yeah. It's about if you're passionate about something and you know how to sell it and it becomes easy to you, social media will become that much more. And it's just about taking the right pictures and saying the right things and making them, you know, they're not hungry probably when they go on the internet, but now they are because
you've enticed them. What social media outlets do you use?
I use Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram. If you can, the handle on that is at YTB events with an S. So YTB EVENTS. So on Facebook, you can find me. Pinterest is a huge thing, especially with a lot of people nowadays, because they want to plan their ideal event and they use that as it. And then I can link up with them and kind of see what they're looking for and then kind of swap pictures back and forth. And Instagram is a huge one just because it's pictures. It's not so much words.
Okay. Yeah, my daughters use that, but I haven't figured out that one out yet. I don't think it works very well for me yet. We'll figure it out. Nobody really wants to see spreadsheets.
You could also email me at Erin, E-R-I-N, at ytbevents.com. And I also have a website, ytbevents.com. So I try to keep it simple. Find me, you know, Google YTB events or You're the Boss Weddings Events, and you know, you'll find me.
Now, you didn't mention Twitter, so you don't utilize Twitter.
I am on Twitter, but I don't use it that often.
Okay.
I find that most people around here, or that at least want events, get slightly confused by Twitter.
I agree.
I'm not sure.
I have to use it, but I got to figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, people are like, what do you mean by retweet? I'm like, I don't even know what retweet means. You know, I mean, the coolest thing, the only reason I went on Twitter is because from doing Million Dollar Listing, Ryan Serhant retweeted something I had posted.
Right.
And that went to like his million followers. So I was like, I should probably be on this thing. But I think it's more for people down in the city. But I feel like up here, people respond more by pictures.
Okay. Well, you know, it's a good point because we talk about social media quite a bit because it's obviously in everything we do,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think looking and talking to entrepreneurs like yourself, I'm finding that there's certain social medias that work better for certain industries and work less for others.
Absolutely.
And obviously, I think it's pretty obvious in your case, right?
Absolutely. Especially since 95% of my business comes from it. The other 5% is me just talking to people and, right. Or at expos or something like that.
And obviously you were talking about your stuff is very visual, right?
Absolutely. Because you can't get hired to design somebody's things if they can't see how you do.
Right. Mm. Right. It's a little different in my world, as you can imagine, right? So, but I would love to see, those cupcakes and what have you. And you're going to like us on Facebook.
Absolutely.
All right, so we'll like you, you'll like us, and my guy will figure out how to make that all happen as they do.
I'll post it right, as soon as we're done.
Aaron, what a pleasure. Is there anything you're working on right now that we should be aware of?
Let's see. I am working on a lot of things. Cupcakes are probably been one of the biggest things to take off.
We didn't even talk about cupcakes, and that was like the major deal.
Yeah, I didn't want it to take over my life. So I'm going slow with my first year, which is great. It hasn't even been a year yet. I incorporated in November, so it's been. I've had anywhere from 3 to 4 or 5 events a week.
Is that right?
And that's just based on social media. Yeah.
Well, that is a success story all by itself.
Yeah. And
I'm not kidding.
I didn't take any loans out for this. I didn't. All the money is just I'm using it,
reinvesting back in your business.
Exactly.
So you started on your own almost a year ago now, right? And
I couldn't even have a launch party because I was busy.
Well, keep it up. I don't think you should do one now.
No,
I think you should just keep it
at 1 year, maybe a 1 year anniversary.
Jeez. So you were doing 3 to 4 events a week.
Yeah,
now.
And that's even just, and I consider an event even like a cupcake order or something like that.
Okay.
I went from, 1 dozen cupcakes in January to now July, I've got over 40 dozen orders.
Wow. Now, do you have any plans to expand?
Absolutely.
From what I'm gathering right now, you're kind of a one-man shop.
Yeah. Actually, today after this, I meet with my first hired assistant.
Wow.
Yeah.
So your first employee.
Yeah, my first real employee. I have a meeting with her after this, and she actually is an intern coming from Fashion Institute of Technology.
Wow.
So, yeah. So she's from up here, but she goes to school down there.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so design is, what she's worked for a couple companies in New York City, so it's going to be pretty exciting working with her.
I bet.
Yeah.
So territory-wise, is there any, you try to stay in the New York metro area?
New York, Hudson Valley. I also cater at Caldwell House, Bed and Breakfast in Salisbury Mills. So if you stay there or wish to host an event there, they do work with a number of caterers, and I'm one of them. So
okay.
So that you can always request me there, or they will, take care of it. Probably the next year, I'm hoping to have my own venue where I can work out of, where we've done weddings before, which is, hopefully working on the Club Antaroga property.
Ah, taking it back, possibly?
We still have it, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's still, part of our property up in Goshen. So we have that, and I am looking to expand towards home-cooked meals to your door as well.
Interesting.
In the next couple of months. Like, if you've ever seen, Fresh Catering or who does it? Plated or Blue Apron, like those where you have a meal plan and they... you work on online, and they could deliver to your door like a week's worth of food.
Well, it's pretty interesting. So what I'm gathering here is this is just
the beginning.
This is the beginning. It's the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
That's fantastic.
I haven't even announced that stuff yet.
So. Well, you heard it here first.
Yeah,
with WTBQ,
absolutely.
Right? Well, folks, thank you so much for everybody listening here today. I just want to thank Aaron again for taking the time to meet with us out of her very busy schedule.
Yeah. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a ride, and I'm so excited to actually had the time to meet you and hear how you got here and what you're going to do. And I think Orange County and actually everywhere is going to see and hear more of Aaron Pasquale going forward here, to say the least. This is Jim Mazzetti with The American Dream. I'm with Miles Wealth Management, and please, remember us as well, www.mileswealthmanagement.com. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Tuesday.